This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Anchor by Spotify. And if you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. No specialty training or equipment needed. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast worldwide on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. And best of all, like I've been saying, Anchor is totally free. It's free. Download the Anchor app today or go to anchor.fm to get started and make your podcast dreams a reality. That's anchor.fm. What are you waiting for? Download the app.
Well, it's a big show.
Welcome to the Fade Route.
It's a big bad show tonight.
With DNZ.
Yeah, it's a big show.
Here are your hosts.
Crack it up. Tell them them lies.
DNZ. Welcome, everybody, to this special edition of the Fade Route with DNZ. I am Z, and we got a brand new concept for you. We are going deep into the big game that is on Sunday between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. But it's not just me. It's not just D. We have three other esteemed members of the In Route joining us this evening. But first and foremost, here he is. I've known this guy since our days on Carousel Shoes, flight crew through and through, the last QB in St. John's history. What's up, D? How's it going?
Ready for the big game, ready for our new segment, and let's roll.
Let's do this. And our first esteemed member of the In Route panel is none other than Austining AYSO's lovely Rita Sanchez, Regional Commissioner. What's going on, Rita?
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And speaking of always a pleasure, the man, the myth, the legend, the Tubby Hook Tavern's own Mr. Danny Butler. What's going on, brother?
Not much, see. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to the panel. I'm very excited.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the newest member of the In Route, but he is known to you if you've been following the option. He participated, he took home some hardware. Introducing to all of you, one Mr. Zach Curtin. Zach, what's going on, brother?
How's it going? Thanks for having me, D. Thanks for having me, Z. Happy to be on the podcast. I'm ready to talk some Super Bowl.
Yeah. Sounds good. So let's jump right into things, since we're talking about it. You know, we're talking about the big game, because legally we can't say the other thing. But the Eagles are a slim favorite. But these two teams are extremely linked together. You have the Andy Reid factor. You have the Kelce brothers factor. And this Field Yates stat is crazy. They've even scored. The Chiefs and the Eagles have scored the exact same number of points to this point this season. What are the keys to victory for either side? We're going to go to you first, D.
Yeah, so for me, I can't recall a time when we had a more evenly matched Super Bowl. The keys to victory is going to be teams playing to their strengths and trying to get each other off of what they do best. Now, in the situation with the Chiefs, I think they're going to try to get the ball to Kelce, right? Expect over 100 yards receiving for him. Expect multiple touchdowns for him. And if you're the Eagles, you're going to show that you can do whatever you want, but mainly run the football, as they showed in their last game where they just ran it down the 49ers' throat. And they are not going to be afraid of the Chiefs. They're going to come at them with their front four. They're going to cover their wide receivers. So I expect the game plan to be, we're going to run the ball down your throat. we're going to play solid defense. We're going to win the game. And the Chiefs are going to rely on Mahomes and Kelce because that's who got him here so far.
100%, 100%. So we're going to go to you next, Danny. What do you think? What are the keys to victory?
Yeah, like you said, and D said it too. I mean, they are very evenly matched. So I think it's going to come down to, as good as the Eagles are, I think it's going to come down to experience and the quarterback. And so I'll take Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes over, you know, Sirianni, who I can't stand, especially as a Giant fan, and Hurts, as good as he's been. I think for the Eagles defensively, you got to get to Mahomes, especially if he's got the bum ankle. I don't know if the ankle is as bad as Mahomes lets on sometimes, but if you look at the Super Bowl a couple years ago against the Bucks, Mahomes was running for his life. He had no tackles in that. Either tackle was playing in that game, running for his life. He still put the ball in Tyreek Hill's hands and Kelce's hands a couple times on the money, and they dropped it, so he got no help. So they need to, and they're good at that. They're, you know, I think the most sacks is the 84-85 Bears, I think they said. Mm-hmm. So they could definitely get after the quarterback. I think offensively for the Eagles, it sounds weird to say it. I think sometimes they get away from the run game too much where, you know, I know they ran the ball down the Giants' throat, but you see Miles Sanders and Gainwell and Boss Scott, and they get a little – I know they have a lot of wide receiver weapons and Dallas Goedert, but I would think maybe stick to the run game a little more than usual.
Yeah.
Keep Mahomes and Kelce and those guys off the field. For the Chiefs, defensively, same thing. It's you got to get to Jalen Hurts, and that's Spags' specialty, especially in Super Bowls. He's going to come up with some bizarre blitzes that I don't think Hurts has ever seen. That's what he's going to have to do.
Yeah.
And make him run. If you flush him out of the pocket, if he runs, he runs. But if he does, make him pay for it, because you know he's still got that bump shoulder. And offensively, you know, Chiefs have to protect Mahomes. I can see a lot of draws, a lot of screens, and also jump on the Eagles early because they're very used to getting the lead and just doing what they want and running, doing, you know, their game plan, executing it to a T. You put them on the heels early, then I think maybe the Chiefs have a good shot.
Danny, it's so shocking, right? I mean, Sirianni's got a team running, like, a strategy, a game plan. It's hard to believe this man could coach this team this far. Am I just the only one that thinks that?
I kind of understand what Julian Love was saying. Like, this team is so talented. And let's face it, they got an easy ride so far in the playoffs. I mean, as a Giants fan, I hate to admit, we're not that talented. We just played very well and at the right times. And, you know, we're an up-and-coming team. And then I know you knock out the quarterback. That's to your credit. But that Niner game was over after the first drive, you know?
Yeah.
So they've had a very easy run of it. And if they're a little too confident, which Sirianni tends to be, he could be in for a long day facing Patrick Mahomes.
No, 100%. He definitely errs on the side of overconfidence. We had a poll up 2 weeks ago on our Twitter page at FadeRouteDNZ. Who has a more smackable face, him or Mike McDaniel? Now, McDaniel won, but it was close. And, you know, it's one of those things that you just want to, you know, just want to give him the old two-piece and a biscuit. But he definitely is way too overconfident. And is that overconfidence, you wonder if that's going to make him cocky and if that's going to bite him in the ass, especially against an experienced head coach like Andy Reid. But we're going to put a pin in that one until we talk about Andy Reid next. Rita, we're going to go over to you next. What are the keys to victory for either side?
So this is a tit-for-tat situation. So for your Kelce, you have your Goddard. So I think they have to kind of stay neck and neck because they are so evenly matched. Echoing the experience, definitely very important, because I definitely trust Andy Reid more than I trust Sirianni. Even if I wasn't a Giants fan, he's got nothing to show as compared to Reid. I am looking at the Poly Pocket, Boston Scott. He's going to run under people, and they need to, like, get on that soon. Otherwise, he's going to run all over them. And I think everything's pretty much been said. That's my piece for now.
Well, I hear you. Everything's been said. I do like the Boston Scott pick for, like, a little a sleeper. I think he could definitely sneak up on some people, and not just because he's so small that no one's going to notice he's there. Zach,
you're
up.
He's playing against the Giants.
Yeah. Right? Jeez.
Oh, my goodness. Zach Attack, over to you.
Yeah, you know, I think, as with any football game, it starts in the trenches. And I think, Dan, you said it, going back to the Super Bowl against the Bucks. you know, Mahomes, you know, if that O-line breaks down, it's, he looks like a pedestrian quarterback. And I think, you know, that's, you know, first and foremost the key for the Chiefs. They got to keep Hurts in the pocket. You got to love Spagnuolo. You got to love what he's going to dial up. But that defense has to get off the field on third down. That goes for both teams, but you can't let them extend the drives. You can't be on a third and long, think you're going to get off the field, and Hurts, you know, runs for 12. That's a killer. For the Eagles, you know, their aerial attack, I think it's been working for them all season. You know, yes, running in the playoffs, you know, is
obviously key to victory,
but that's an aerial attack that they want to get those guys involved early and often. And then knock Mahomes down. It's that Tom Brady, Peyton Manning formula, is that the only way to beat them is to knock them down. And they got to get after them, even if you're not sacking them, hurrying them, knocking them down. You know, they're throwing flags left and right these days. But, you know, hopefully the refs let them play a little bit and we do get a physical game.
So who is, I mean, we already have Boston Scott on the table as like an unsung hero kind of thing. Does anybody else have like an X factor that will make their keys to victory go? Does anybody have like an out of the box X factor? Like Kelsey's going to be there. Mahomes is going to be there. Goddard's going to be there. Hurts is going to be there. Anybody got an outside the box pick?
It's not outside the box for me, but I really think Jerick McKinnon is the key.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be able to go downfield as much as they want because of that Eagles pass rush is going to be on him. So he's going to have to make quick passes. I expect screens to McKinnon. I expect McKinnon one-on-one to the linebackers. I expect him to have like a 2-touchdown over 100 yards day receiving.
Even with Clyde Edwards-Helaire back,
because I don't know how Clyde Edwards-Helaire is just going to come in and just assume what he did. You know, Jerick McKinnon's been in full flight with this team all season. He didn't miss any games. He played every game, and you get rewarded for things like that. And he can pick up. Oh, he is excellent picking up the blitz. Excellent picking up. He throws pop, so he can be in on third down. He can be on first down. I expect him to be the X factor.
No, so he's definitely worth a watch for me. Like after last week's or 2 weeks ago's performance, I like MVS. I think he's gonna prove some doubters wrong. Right when he left Green Bay, he was a big question mark. Right, who is Marquez Valdes-Scantling? And he showed up big when they needed him most. Now, I get Bradbury, I get Slay, I understand their
Bradbury. Danny, is that his name that you remember?
Yeah, you want to talk about Kadarius Toney too?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got two Giants in this game.
No. Kadarius Toney's probably going to have like 2 snaps total, but he's not even worth
it. He's actually
a timer.
Hurt, so he might not get that much time.
Yeah.
Wait, he's hurt? Get out of here.
Oh, I'm shocked. You're kidding. Yeah. I didn't see that happening. But yeah, MVS, I could see him lighting up Bradbury and Slay. I mean, Slay was the best player on the Detroit Lions defense for years, and they suck. So
it's like being the smartest kid with Down syndrome.
Whoa. My goodness. Yo. And then, you know, Bradbury's bad. Bradbury. We've all seen Bradbury. We know what he is. You know, he was, you know, Bart Scott's favorite player until he got to the Giants, and all of a sudden, what the hell happened there? So that's somebody I can definitely see having a big game. But coaching is going to have a major impact on this game. Sirianni, this is the farthest he's ever been. And Andy Reid has been there, done that. He's won a chip, but he doesn't have the best record in the big game, right? He lost his lone trip with the Eagles, and he's gone 1-1 with Kansas City. So some people have made this argument, and I want to hear from you guys. Is this a legacy-defining win for Andy Reid, or is it a legacy-defining loss if they lose? Butts, I'm coming to you. What do you got?
I don't think his legacy is on the line either way. He's a Hall of Famer whether he wins or loses. I think for him, this is more personal to him, how he's going to look back in his career to beat the team that he built and was had so competitive for those 15 years. I think if he beats the Eagles, he can really look at himself. He probably does look at himself as one of the greatest of all time, which he probably is. And you got to remember, last time, you know, the one he lost in Tampa against the Bucks, he had the whole situation with his son, with the drunk driving accident when he hit the kid. He had a lot. It was a COVID thing. It was a lot of protocols. It was in Tampa Bay. There was a lot of funny stuff going on. I think this is just about football for Andy. And when it's just about football, there's not a lot of guys better than that than Andy Reid.
He is one of the best. He and Belichick, I believe, are the winningest coaches that are active. So, you don't get that way just on sheer luck. What about you, Rita? What do you think? Legacy-defining win or no?
I think he has to show that it wasn't a fluke. We just mentioned Belichick. Like, that's Andy Reid's whole career is being compared to him, and he never had Tom Brady. So I think this is, a true equal team. They have a lot of different players this year, so I think it is about the football, and it's about kind of shushing the haters in Philly, of which there are a lot.
Yeah, it is kind of surprising how they he was one of their own until he wasn't, so it's kind of funny how turncoats, I believe there's a good word to describe Philly fans, but hey, we love Philly. We love Philly. Rocky, woo, cheesesteak, yeah. All right, Zach, what about you? Legacy-defining win or no?
I think his legacy is cemented. I think if he does get that, if he wins, I think that will move him up into the upper echelons of greatest, coaches of all time. I think right now he's on, if we're talking tiers, he's on one of the, maybe a second tier after Belichick, after Don Shula, those. What's the difference between he and Pete Carroll? I think if he wins this one, if he gets this one, he'll move into, that conversation when you talk about the greatest coaches ever.
Marshawn Lynch at the 1 yard line. That's the difference between him and Pete Carroll.
There you go.
My cousin Malcolm Butler came up with the interception there. Cousin Malcolm, my man.
All right, D, we're coming to you. What do you think?
How could you not see that this is defining, right? Because Philly got rid of him. Since they got rid of him, this is going to be their second Super Bowl without him. Andy Reid leaves there. This is going to be his third Super Bowl since leaving there. I think it all falls on him, right? I mean, if Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and that Eagles team loses, it's just like, okay, yeah, you got beat by Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid. But man, if Andy Reid loses with arguably probably the best quarterback right now, the best tight end in the game right now, this team's been to the last, three or four AFC championship games, five AFC championship games, I think, and they've won one Super Bowl, lost Super Bowl. This is big. I don't think he can walk out of this unscathed. He kind of has to win. Pat Mahomes has to win. There's a lot on the line here.
Well, I'm not so sure about that, but let's think about who he lost to, right? When he lost with the Eagles, he lost to Belichick, he lost to Brady, he lost to a great team.
And that was McNabb's fault, not Andy Reid's fault.
Well, yeah,
taking his time and throwing up in the huddle, if you remember.
Yes, absolutely. He was Terrell Owens, well documented about what was going on in that. The chunky soup was a little agita inducing. Don't eat the clam chowder before the big game. So you had that moment, and then they win, and then you have the loss against Belichick. Brady and Bruce Arians. So he can't get away from Tom Brady. Now Brady's not here, but this team is loaded. The Eagles, in terms of talent, they can go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs. So I'm not so sure, based on talent-wise, I don't know if this is a legacy-defining thing. He got beat by very good teams, right? It's not like he walked in there and the Carolina Panthers beat him, So it's not like it's not like they're going into the Super Bowl and, he's back with the Eagles and they lose to the Raiders. I don't know necessarily that this is as big of a deal. If anything, I think the shoe's on the other foot. This is going to be defining for Nick Sirianni. We're going to see how good he is, and when he's up against a coach that has been there, that has done that, that can out-scheme him.
That fired him.
Yes. There's a little extra beef there. Is he going to want to turn it up a notch? And is that going to be his Achilles heel here? But only time's going to tell on that. But That's enough for first down. We're coming back at you with the real wheel route right after this. The wheel route. All right, guys, here's how it goes for round two. For second down, we have the wheel route. And it's exactly how it sounds. We have a wheel of random topics. I'm going to spin that wheel. And whatever it lands on, we're going to talk about. Novel concept, right? So, here we go. Big money, no whammy. No whammy. All right. Over under 5 mentions of Tom Brady joining Fox during the pregame broadcast or both. Rita, we're coming to you.
Okay, so I thought about this. We're going to go 12 for 12 because he's 12. 5 mentions of Fox. 5 talking about being beaten by Philly, which is the only time I ever rooted for Philly in my life, and it felt gross. And then 2 miscellaneous, like they might mention Giselle or the retirement or the sand on the beach being sold on eBay. So I'm going 12.
Oh, right. I like that.
Yeah. Right, we got a 12. We have a tracker for this. I feel like we should have a tracker for this. All right, Zach, you're up. What are you thinking? Over under?
I think it's a bit of. And I don't think they'll mention it. And I respect it. Because. One spot. Then 20. Down to 5. 24. That's it. 24.
Under 5. 24. D, how many are you thinking? Over under 5.
Yeah, I think it's under. I don't think he's going to mention the guy that's going to take his place too many times. I think they might just talk about it as far as maybe records are concerned or wins are concerned or measuring up. I'm going under 5. It'll be pretty high, but under 5.
All right, Danny, what are you thinking? Over under 5.
Yeah, I agree. Under 5, just in terms of the broadcasting, like Zach said, it's very disrespectful to Greg Olsen. Especially if he was starting next year, then maybe, yeah, they push it. But plus, Brady might come out at halftime and announce that he's coming back anyway, so that would put a kibosh on that. But, yeah, so I put under 5 on the broadcast. And real quick about Burkhardt and Olsen, I heard this Burkhardt say this today. His first job out of college was announcing Jersey high school football. And the first game he ever did was Wayne High School, and Greg Olsen was playing. How about that?
Wow.
Ooh. I don't know what it means, but it means something. Yeah, exactly.
How about that? It's going to be close. I'm thinking 6. I'm thinking slightly over because there are going to be some packages where he's going to get mentioned offhand. Gronk is going to be there, so I'm sure they're going to try and feed Gronk about Brady. So, you know, I'm thinking 6, but they're going to try to be as tasteful about it as they can. All right, here we go. Big money. All right, here we go. More sacks or field goals in this game? All right, more sacks or field goals, Zach? What do you think?
I'm going with the sacks. These teams just simply don't kick field goals anymore, and they want to keep it aggressive. They know touchdowns win, so I'm going sacks.
All right. How many are you thinking? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking 4 sacks. 3-1. I don't know. I think 3. I think the Eagles. They get hurt once.
Solid. D, what do you think? More field goals or sacks?
I'm gonna go with more sacks. I just think the Eagles are gonna get to Mahomes. And I'm thinking there's probably gonna be around 3 field goals in the game. I've got that inclination, 3 or 4 field goals, but I'm thinking at least 5 or 6 sacks between the 2 sides.
Oof. DB, this must make your heart hurt as an offensive lineman. All this sack talk. What about you? What are you thinking? Sacks or field goals?
Yeah, I'm with, you know, Zach, as an offensive lineman, hates me to say it, but I think it's going to be more sacks because we're saying neither team likes field goals. Two of the most aggressive offenses and coaches in the league. I mean, I think both teams will get pressure. Even if both teams protect the quarterback well, both these teams are going to be throwing the ball so much that they're just going to run into sacks. So I'm going to say there's going to be 5 sacks altogether, and I'm going to say 3, maybe 4 field goals.
There we go.
Yeah, I mean, so, Mahomes has a tendency in Super Bowls to do the backyard play.
And big games.
Yeah, and then big games. And the backyard play does not work so well against good teams because they chase the ball. They're constantly coming after the ball. No, there's no lineman giving up on a play or, you know, taking plays off. Everybody's coming after you. And I think he learned that in his first go-around against the Bucs.
Yeah, I agree. I think that both of these quarterbacks are going to run into some coverage sacks because they like to extend the play. They like to try and get their, you know, get their receivers time. But, you know, I'm with you on that. I'm with you. Rita, what are you thinking? More sacks or field goals in the game?
Definitely more sacks. As I was doing my research, like, there are some scary people on the field, including Dominican Sue. So yes. I think they're just going to go for it, especially since Hurts and Mahomes are both not completely healthy. So I think they're just going to shut them down and hope that they don't get flagged.
Yeah. Well, are the refs going to decide this one? What are we thinking here? How many roughing the passer calls are we going to see? Just off the top of your head, what are we thinking?
I don't think we're going to see any.
None?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree. I say no roughing the passer, but one of these guys on the run, like the play that cost the Bengals the AFC Championship, there will be one downfield where, you know,
sideline
late or a sideline or the guy, you know, hurts if Mahomes slides late and guy hits him. But I don't think anything in the backfield. I think the NFL is going to be too hard on the refs going into this.
Here we go.
Who's the person that hurt Purdy? Hassan Reddick, right?
It was.
Yeah, it was Reddick, right?
It was Reddick, I believe, yeah.
Yeah.
Was the one who tackled Josh Johnson?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes.
He's always been a killer.
He's a big dude, man. He's a big dude.
You got Linval Joseph, the BMF in the middle, the stuff to run.
Yep.
So, you know, there's plenty of giant representation, unfortunately, guys.
It's just another X.
Yeah, unfortunately. All right.
Man, Brandon Graham likes talking a lot of smack.
Ooh, a lot of smack talk, but let's see about this one. Total number of cameos during Rihanna's halftime performance. I'm going to take the lead on this one. I think it's going to be only one. She's going to sing Umbrella. And Jay-Z is going to end up on the stage. One cameo.
I can't believe that's going to happen.
You ready, Riri? Cheer. Cheer, boy.
I can't believe he would do that. Like, I don't know. I find it hard to maybe Drake, but really? You really think Jay-Z is going to be second fiddle to Rihanna in the Super Bowl?
Good point.
I think so. I mean, he was second fiddle to her on that song. So, here we go.
Well, I think he produced it, I think. So, he got some kickback.
All right. Well, we'll see. I mean, what do we think? D, what are your thoughts? Like, are we going to get any or not?
I think we are going to get one cameo. But I don't know if it's going to be Jay-Z. My bet would be Drake. I think he's had some history with her. Definitely won't be Chris Brown, though.
No.
Well, someone's got to be there to make sure she minds her P's and Q's, you know?
Oh, my God.
That's just a joke.
Ooh. Man, that's great.
Well, DB, we're coming to you. How many cameos do you think there's going to be?
I think there's going to be... I'm going to say 8. You're going to get the other 7, the cast of Ocean's 8. I think they'll all be there. At some point. And after watching the Grammys the other night, I think Satan might actually show up. he came pretty close to showing up the other night, so maybe go for that. That'll be great.
Maybe Will Smith. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be good too. Listen, I like Rihanna. If she plays some role, a little Ponder replay, I'll be back in Rockin' Robins.
Like, that was like from like 20 years ago. That's the other thing. What is she going to sing at this thing? Has she made anything recently?
Not in my mind, but that doesn't mean she hasn't.
Oh, she did a movie soundtrack. I forget who it was. She like.
Oh,
she
Black
was...
Panther, Raise
yes.
Me Up.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
yes.
not gonna. That's a little somber for the, this escapade.
I mean, if Bruno Mars can play It Will Rain, like I think that she'll be able. You know, I think that Rihanna could play something a little bit kind of mellow and somber. But Rita, what do you think? How many cameos are we seeing during Riri's performance?
Four. And there are going to be some. There's going to be some randos. I would love to see Will Smith, but like there's all these like Philly people that are probably going to come because again they like to shove it down our throats that they're from Philly. And I want to hear Diamonds, that song about shining like a diamond. That will make me happy, and I will dance like I'm in Zumba. So four cameos.
All right, Zach. What about you?
All right, so. I actually had a similar thought about the Jay-Z. It would be Jay-Z. However, I was looking on Wikipedia at all of the previous halftime shows. There's going to be some sort of youth marching band or choir, because in every goddamn halftime show, there's the University of So-and-So's marching band. So that, if you're counting that as a cameo.
I mean, it counts. Like, it definitely counts. She's the headliner, but they're the supporting piece. So we have a giant run-in of an orchestra or a marching band. Okay, like that's plenty. That's plenty. But that's all we got.
Marching band or something.
Oh,
jeez. How about cameo that sang "Word Up"? Cameo. How about he shows up? That'd be good.
I'd like to see Boyz II Men.
Amazing.
Boyz II Men would be great.
That would be good.
I think too many people would be like, who the hell is that?
Yeah, we don't care about those people, dude.
I don't know. No, we're the target demographic. They want us to buy the stuff in the Super Bowl ad. So cater to your target demographic. Bring us Boyz II
Men. They're too old, Boyz II Men. When I saw them, they had like Gatorade, like all like around the stage because they're like AARP now. I love them, but I'm just saying. I don't know if they can handle it.
I mean, we're talking about Will Smith. Will Smith is older than them, I believe. Is he not?
They got to be close to the same age. Yeah, they got to be very close.
Well, so we got to represent. You know, Kevin Hart will be there. Or maybe Kevin Hart will make his way on the stage. Hopefully not as drunk as he was last time in Philly.
He's going to be wearing his Boston Scott jersey on the field.
Well, we're going to wheel it on out of here. We're going to make our picks right after this. Let's run the option and give you our picks for the week. It is the option for Big Game Sunday. This is it. Cards on the table time. There can only be one winner. So we're going around the table. Who you got, what score you got, and who takes home the Super Bowl MVP. I said it again. D, you're up first. Who is taking it?
Yeah, I mean, I've been going back and forth with this just because the teams are just so evenly matched. You know, like I say, you know, Pat Mahomes is the best quarterback. I say that Eagles have the best offensive line. Then I go back to saying, okay, well, the Chiefs have the best coaching staff. But then, man, the Eagles, they've got the defense. But at the end of the day, I can't bet against Pat Mahomes. I want to, but I can't. I mean, after what he did in that last game on a bum ankle and without Tyreek Hill and all the players from last year. So I've got Mahomes taking home the MVP, and I've got a score of 31-20.
Ooh, okay. A little bit of a blowout there. A little bit of a blowout. DB, what about you? What do you got?
All right, so same thing. My head's telling me that the Eagles are a slightly better team, but my heart will never, ever let me say that. But also my head's telling me I'm not betting against Pat Mahomes. Great. So I don't think Mahomes... I think Travis Kelce does. because I think one of Sirianni's mistakes is he's going to go for two when he shouldn't, because he likes to do that. It's going to cost him. Kelce is going to throw the game-winning two-point conversion pass to Patrick Mahomes. And they're going to call it the Fuck Philly Special.
That'd be great.
34-33. Kansas City.
How about them Chiefs? Rita, what do you got?
Okay, so as the mother of two sons, I am going to be Mama Kelce about this because I don't want to jinx anyone. The score is going to be 34-28, and I'm not going to say who my pick is, but I really like the color red.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Zach, what do you got?
You know, it kills me to say this, but the Eagles, for me, have stood out as the best team all year, and they have played their best brand of football in the playoffs. And they're stacked on both sides of the ball. They keep it up tempo. And as much as it kills me to say this, I think they went handedly. I abide by the don't bet against Patrick Mahomes mentality, but I'm betting against Patrick Mahomes with a high ankle sprain or whatever the ankle injury is. I think the Eagles win 31-20 and Hurts takes home the MVP.
Interesting. A little inverse of what we had with D. Yeah. All right.
Sounds like you guys both have 1-0-0-1 in your pools, huh? Little partnership going on. I like that.
Okay. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. But with the big game, with how these things go, defense sometimes goes out the window, and I'm thinking that this is going to be one of those times where defense goes out the window, and the refs are going to legislate it out. They're going to make sure it doesn't happen. Mahomes is going to ball out. Hurts is going to ball out. And I know we were saying that there was going to be more sacks than field goals, but I think this comes down to a field goal. And Harrison Butker is going to kick that game-winning field goal. I'm looking at 37-34 Chiefs. And as far as my MVP goes, they're going to trip over themselves to give this to Mahomes. They're just going to do it because they want to anoint the next great quarterback, right? Especially now that Brady is gone. And Mahomes is very good. He is good, but he's only won one, right? He's on par with Aaron Rodgers. This takes him up a notch. That takes him above. And even if he doesn't have a great game, we've seen that the NFL will reward quarterbacks who have not played that great of a game. So I'm going to go with Mahomes as my MVP. But to quote Boys to Men, since we were talking about Boys to Men before, we've come to the end of the road for this Super Bowl special.
Lost
it's
it.
Been a well, it's been fun. So you know what? Whatever. We had a blast here. Guys, say what you need to say on the way out. Danny, you got anything special going on the Tubby Sunday?
Yeah, we'll have plenty of football, food and drink specials. We're catering too. We can, you know, all your house party needs. Still got trivia going on Tuesday. Trivia on Tuesday. Karaoke's on Thursday. Brunch Saturday, Sunday. Great place to come and watch the games. Please stop by.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be a blast. Make sure you get there, folks. Rita, any update on Osni AYSO? I think the season's coming up, right?
We are kicking off in April. Spring registration is open. And looking forward to a fabulous season.
Absolutely. One of our favorite youth sport partners. Our only youth sport partner. Because we believe in it that much. So, from all of us at the Fade Route D&Z, our in-route panel, Danny, Rita, Zach, D, myself, enjoy, drink responsibly, have fun, bet responsibly, and it's time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week. If you want to get on the action, we want to hear from you. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG @FadeRoutePodcast. Drop us a DM on Twitter @FadeRouteDNZ. Comment on our YouTube channel, The Fade Route with DNZ. Questions, comments,
picks, segment suggestions, you name it, we want to hear from you. Get at us, in crowd.